from Relay. This is Downstream, a podcast about the present and future of television. This is episode number 95, recorded May 15th, 2025. I am your master of ceremonies, Jason Snell. Julia Alexander is on assignment this week. She's actually the upfronts in New York, and we're going to be talking about that. But she'll be back soon. But with me instead this week, once again, it's Will Carroll of Under the Knife. Will, welcome back to Downstream.
Hey, welcome. I'm so happy to be here. I love doing this. I know everybody goes, oh no, sports ball. But yeah,
it's where the money is right now. In fact, that's going to be one of our topics.
That is completely the topic.
There's the upfronts where everybody is talking to people about advertising and money. And that's all happening this week. And there is a certain large media company who basically just said nothing but talked about sports the whole. In fact, we'll start there. How about NBC Universal came out on stage and said, this will be the greatest single year of content that any single media company has ever had, in a very Juan Antonio Samaranch, this is the greatest Olympic Games of all kind of thing. Every year is the greatest. But their argument is they got the Winter Olympics, the Super Bowl, and the NBA playoffs in quick succession next year. It's pretty good, but it shows you the importance of sports, right? It's like, this is talking about all of NBC Universal, and they're like, hey, everybody, sports, because that is where the money is.
Yeah, and it's hard to argue, because getting those in quick succession, I'm sure, was a plan. I think somebody traded a Super Bowl a couple of years ago, because Fox had a number of things, and I think NBC knew if we can get the Olympics and then the Super Bowl, and the NBA is just icing on the cake. I don't think they knew it at that point. But this is one of those where, yeah. The other one is, maybe it's just me. Are they just kind of digging a knife in Versant?
It is.
You know, all those channels they're tossing aside, and now you're going to have the best content?
Formerly SpinCo, now Versant, where all of the cable channels other than Bravo are going on. That's the ice flow that they've been pushed out onto. It's called Versant now.
I don't get this at all. I haven't gotten Versant for a while. It feels like one of those things where they're just taking all the crap and tossing it in a company, and then you load it down with the debt. But that's not what they did.
Yeah. I think literally the idea with Versant, and I think this is a financial transaction, so it'd be better for somebody who has a sort of financial journalism background, but it sounds to me, this is the kind of thing, it's just like when private equity buys a newspaper, and you're like, well, wait a second, that is a business that's in deep decline. Why does anybody want to invest in it? And the answer is, in the case of cable, these channels are still profitable, but they're decreasingly profitable. Over time, they are going to fade away. And I think that there are people with a certain financial mindset who will say, you know, you NBC Universal may not be in the business of USA Network and the Sci-Fi Channel going forward, but we can make money at it, probably doing things that you'd be embarrassed to do. We won't be embarrassed. We'll just do it, and we'll extract all value out of these things until they have no value left to give.
Shameless capitalists squeezing news. I mean, newspapers are functionally dead.
Yep.
Websites are fast becoming that. And I think that's one of the reasons all these things are happening. To get back to NBC and Peacock, it's the Bravo thing that throws me off. I don't know why Bravo didn't go to Versant, unless Lazarus was just saying, I'm not taking Andy Cohen, whether it's just that much profitable.
I think the issue there is that the Bravo programming does very, very well on Peacock with a younger audience, and so they don't want to lose the content. And that's what makes it the exception, is they've got a lot of reality TV that's very successful, and they don't want to give it away. So
that makes sense. Yeah. Bravo to me is like kryptonite, except for Top Chef, which is perhaps my favorite show on TV.
Only takes one.
Exactly. With Peacock and sports, I think it's going to be great. I think their kind of innovative interface for the NBA viewing is at least intriguing. I'm not sure that it really sells me on it if I wasn't an NBA fan, you know, because we've got options. There's NBA TV, which isn't going away. you're not going to have all the games on Peacock/NBC. We are getting back John Tesh, so
we are. And Michael Jordan is apparently going to make an appearance on NBC's NBA coverage, which is interesting, right?
Well, see, that to me felt a whole lot of Tom Brady. You know, because they brought Tom Brady because if you're the greatest quarterback, you're going to be the greatest analyst, right? No, not true at all. He felt unintentional.
I mean, with Jordan, it sounds like it's going to be more like some contributed pieces of Jordan, and it's going to be more like remember the glory years of NBC and the NBA, and maybe he'll just, you know, they'll just cut to him sitting in his armchair saying, "And I took that personal over and over again." That'd be fine.
I kept wondering, you know, are they going to put him and Chuck somewhere? And if so, how many FCC violations are about to occur? You know, we're finally going to get gambling stories from the two of them.
I don't think, and because he's going to be doing it for ESPN. I think that there'll be some barriers there.
But remember, there's the TNT.
Yeah, but that's
crossover with.
That's ESPN, not NBC.
It is, but I figure, you know, maybe a boy can dream.
Who knows?
It's one of those where there's such this balkanization of content. You know, someone at some point is going to come up with a TV guide. We've talked about this before, that Apple TV's close, but... I've got a friend who runs a company called Are You Watching This? I don't know if you're familiar with this. You know how Apple TV pops up the, you know, late score thing?
Yeah.
And I think you said you liked it. I love it. It says, hey, you know, it's late in the game and the Pacers are down 2. You should switch. His is very similar to that. It's called Are You Watching This? Full endorsement to Mark. They do much the same thing. I've done it for a long time. I think something like that could be it, especially with a gambling integration like they have. Everything's sports gambling. So it's going to be interesting. You know, Peacock, great. It gives them a reason to be besides Poker Face. So I'm actually excited about it.
And NBC, I mean, as a broad, wanting to reach a broad audience, we also are in an era with broadcast television where the things that really... you know, it used to be all scripted and now there's very little scripted left. Mm-hmm. And most of it is things like reality and sports. And with the Sunday Night Football franchise, this gives them additional Sundays that they won't have to program anything except the NBA. And that's powerful for NBC as well. So there's a lot of, I think, again, to come back to our original point, one of the reasons that we talk about sports so much, and one of the reasons I wanted to have you as a recurring guest on this show is because sports is a huge, huge part. I'll point out that Julia is now writing weekly about sports at Puck as well, because it's such a huge part of the drivers of viewership, of live viewership, which if you have an ad, and let's point out, even if you're paying for the no ad version of something, live sports, you get the ads anyway.
Yeah.
So it is, if anybody, whether you're Netflix and you're just starting to scale up your ad business, or you're NBC, which, you know, arguably is an ad business that has a, you know, content engine strapped to the side of it. I mean, it is definitely, a lot of those networks have been sales organizations.
Yeah.
And then the reason they've got all the different cable channels and all of that is to give them more demographics and more locations to sell into.
Mm-hmm.
But whether you're Netflix or NBC or anybody in between, the, you know, there's no doubt that ad revenue in television is huge, but you've got, at this point, it needs to be primarily for live content, and sports is a great way to do that. Exhibit A is NBC Universal. Mm-hmm. I wonder what you think about this. This is just something that occurred to me when you were talking about the, you know, Marvel DC crossover that is Michael Jordan and Charles Barkley getting together, like Superman and Spider-Man.
Do I have to explain why that would be a thing?
I don't think so.
No, ask your question and then we'll discuss.
So this is what I wanted to say is, right now the model is that there are individual brands, channels, streamers, whatever you want to call them, that are own a portion of sports rights. right? So like ESPN mm-hmm. and NBC have the NBA starting next year. NFL has got all these partners.
Everybody.
It strikes me that one potential future might be that the league employs the talent and that the league's programming, whether it's on NBC or CBS or Fox or ESPN, that primarily it's the same people because it's the same product. Right now, your NBC announcers do the NBC games and your mm-hmm. CBS announcers do your, you know, whatever it is. But mm-hmm. it doesn't necessarily have to be that way. And I do wonder if we may see some more experimentation, you know, somewhere, I don't know where somebody might say, you know, the best thing is for us to pool all our NBA announcers and you can do the pregame show, or maybe we even pool that and then just forget about it. And you just take the content, because the advantage there too is you don't have a situation where everybody's like, oh no, we're going to lose inside the NBA because TNT lost the basketball rights. Because if that show is also produced by the NBA, it doesn't matter. Whoever buys the rights gets the show.
Right, right. I think you're exactly right. I think we've seen that model with Apple and MLS.
And
it works to an extent. I think the world of their coverage, I think it... good. I think having one works. You know, it's hard enough to find the content I want and say, do I subscribe to that service? Well, I subscribe to all of them. So it's never that question. But it's like, what is that on? What do I have to go to? You know, when I watch the NCAA tournament is a great example of this. And all I have to say is the NCAA tournament. I don't even have to say which sport. Everybody knows what March Madness is. But it's that first week. We're both old enough to remember when if I wanted to watch a first round 8-9 game, maybe it happens, maybe it doesn't, and it's regional. You know, so now I can watch every single game and I have to figure out what channel True TV is for the first time in a year. But NASCAR, good product. I have a relationship with two of the teams, so I have to full disclosure that. But it's one of those things where I don't know when it's on. I don't know if it's going to be Fox. I don't know if it's going to be FS1. I don't know. I know it's switching to Amazon for a month. I know it'll end up on NBC. ESPN's involved somehow, I think, maybe. I don't know if Amazon took that over. I don't even know, but it's confusing. I can't even explain it to you. And this is kind of what I do. So the NFL is just everywhere. The NBA is going to be the same way. Is this a game that's going to be on Peacock? Is this a game that's only going to be on YouTube like the NFL is going to do for a couple games? It's just confusing to me. And nobody's the digital TV guide.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's a larger issue. I do wonder, though, you know, would some league say, you know, we just want to take this over? And I know traditionally there have been a lot of broadcasters like, well, no, this is our editorial independence or whatever. But I'm not sure I have a lot of faith in that argument. There are occasionally, you know, NBC pays Mike Tirico and he does things across NBC. Right. And he's great. I love him. I love his Olympics coverage, too. I can see that. But I can also see the argument that maybe... outside of a handful of special cases, it might be better to say the NFL is like, you know, we're going to set the broadcast teams so that if you've got a lot of games, Fox has got a lot of games one week and CBS has a lot of games the other week, that, you know, we're not going down to the dregs of your announcers because you don't have enough football teams on, you know, you're going to be using a Mountain West announcer on CBS or something.
That's the thing is, you know, with the NFL, sometimes people argue that we got the like number 10 crew.
Right.
Which honestly, I like better than most. Same with basketball is you'll get the 3 or 4 crew. You get some announcers, you know, I just saw Jason Benetti the other day, who's the Tigers announcer, used to be with the White Sox, but he does college basketball all the time. He's done football. Phenomenal. One of the best announcers, Bochampi.
Dave Fleming for the Giants. He does Dave the Fleming Masters. Does the he does college mm-hmm. football. Absolutely.
So outside of, you know, kind of those signature guys, I guess you have to go back to Wide World of Sports with Jim McKay. But, you know, Al Michaels and Mike Tirico and Rich Eisen, who's now going back to ESPN in a small way.
Sure. And potentially a larger way if they buy the NFL Network, which they may.
Oh, they're going to.
Yeah.
that was just such a big tell. So it's one of those things where, aside from that, they could pool all of these. But to go into your world a little bit more, I think they're all going to be replaced by AI.
Wild. That's a wild.
If you could have, you know, Vin Scully back calling Dodgers games, wouldn't you? As good as Joe Davis is?
You know, we talked about this with like a re-speecher or something like that, where you're actually doing it. I don't know. I'm going to be skeptical of that, but I think it's an interesting, that thought occurred to me while we were talking that I wonder at some point if the leagues are so powerful that they say, you know what, we're going to handle the bulk of the production and the announcers. We actually don't want you as a production partner anymore, just as a channel for our content. And what drives that in part is having partners who are not as capable of producing, right? Like the fact is right now, Prime Video's NFL game is NBC.
Yes.
And I believe that at least last year, the Netflix games were produced by CBS.
I thought it was NFL Network, but that might have been CBS because CBS and NFL Network have a relationship.
Yeah, I think so, right? I think it's the same. And that means that it's the same trucks and it's the same.
This is too inside baseball talking about football, but it's one of those things where you kind of have to get really, really deep in the weeds of production.
Yeah.
You know, those trucks are usually local. There's a reason you can pay for one of those big production trucks. It's because you have an NFL team that rents it every week for, you know, the fall, and there's a college basketball. You know, those businesses aren't as good as they used to be. I used to do a lot of MLB and NHL Network, and I did, you know, pretty much every sport for a while. Did NBA Network when I was at FanDuel. But it was one of those things where I would have to go places. You know, there was a studio downtown that had a satellite, and they would buy that time for ridiculous amounts of money. Sure. When I worked at ESPN, I had to go from Indianapolis, where I live, to Bristol in Connecticut, flying through Springfield, Hartford, which at the time was one of the worst airports. I've heard it's better. I haven't been to LaGuardia since they redid it, but that was a hole. But it was cheaper for them to fly me in every week to do the show than just make me a talking head over Zoom, which didn't exist at the time.
Right.
Now, those businesses are all gone.
Gone.
But the trucks still exist.
Yeah. Yeah, and I guess in the end, I mean, going back to taking something like Versant and driving the, you know, extracting all the cost out of it. If you're the leagues, or quite honestly, the broadcasters, if there's a business where the economics are really rough and tight, they don't want to be in that business. If they can find somebody else to own the trucks, they may just step out of it. And like, they'll choose their spots, whether it's talent or not. I didn't mean to derail us on this idea.
No.
I think that the leagues are going to want to take control. And one way to take control of the content is to take control of the announcers.
I completely agree with you. I think one of the other things is that, at least in baseball more than any other, we have a relationship with both the radio and TV guys.
Yes, agreed. That's a very local sport. I mean, that was an issue with MLS, where there were people who were really upset about losing their local announcers, although they kept them, the radio announcers, and they're actually in the Apple TV feed. That's the secret.
Yeah. And a big secret. One of the things, football doesn't have that. You know, I've got friends who are preseason announcers and do those couple games that like 12 people watch.
Right. Nobody misses their local announcer for their NFL team on TV, but because they don't exist. It's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think, you know, if we break that relationship in other sports, it still exists in basketball. It still exists in baseball because of the long season. I think it's the long season that, you know, we develop real relationships with those people.
I guess,
and
I'm not entirely advocating a full on Apple TV MLS thing as much as I'm sort of saying, I wonder if you get to the point where if, you know, Rob Manfred at Major League Baseball wants to have a kind of a national streaming package, knowing that I think that there'll still be local as a part of that, I wonder if in scenarios like that, would you say, well, what we really are going to do is we're going to hire like what Apple's doing with the announcers that are shared with MLB Network, which is we're going to have a squad of announcers who are our national announcers, and they're going to be on all our national. They're going to be on our, you know, our Apple games and our NBC games and our, you know, we're going to use them. Could that be a scenario where they're like, we want our national voices to be these people and that's it? I don't know.
Yes. Because I know some of those announcers, been friends with them a long time. I don't think Apple was that intentional about it. As we saw by the changes we've had.
Well, I mean, they were literally taking from a menu of available MLB Network talent, I think, primarily, right?
Yes, but mostly...
Oh, no, and it was some people from teams that they were, like, getting...
From local teams were kind of getting a run that are now national.
There's, like, a guy from the Angels and the woman from the Orioles, and yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Trisha Whitaker from the Rays, who's now full time. So it's one of those things where I think they did that. The other element that I think I'll close this quickly is that, you know, every once in a while an announcer does something dumb and the teams feel like they want to step in really quickly because they employ them. They control them. That's kind of the voice slash face of the organization for a lot of people. And we've seen that. There was that crazy thing in Detroit a couple of years ago where the announcers were like fighting. Here in Indianapolis, the longtime radio voice of the Colts got fired because of just bonkers stuff. Google it. You see those. And so that local control, people forget they're actually, you know, team employees. And if not, that the team has full control over who's coming on.
Right.
So I don't know if the teams would want to give that up, but I think in the end it would be, you know, Rob Manfred making another terrible decision.
Well, and it would be the league's. Yeah, I agree. But it would be the league's. So it wouldn't be the team seeding to the broadcasters. It would be the league's. The pro of something like that is we just had this here. If you have a broadcaster that is falling apart and they switch, which happens all the time now, and they switch to a new partner, the team would be like, it's okay, your announcers. Like actually what we really saw it is with all the teams that lost the Bally Sports contracts, and all the announcers just continued on because the continuity was there in San Diego, in Arizona, etc. The cons are John Miller getting fired from the Orioles because he didn't do happy talk about how terrible the Orioles were. And that's the con of having be somebody who is controlled by the team.
And they regretted it.
They did. Well, that was a great example of very bad behavior. Or, I mean, honestly, or the White Sox basically not letting Jason Benetti do his thing and not valuing him and having him go away.
Stupid.
Incredibly
stupid.
Incredibly dumb.
Benetti and Stone, I never thought, you know, I grew up, I learned baseball watching the Cubs games on cable as a kid in Texas. And Steve Stone, you know, without going to old man story here, you know, I had the first time I met Steve Stone, he was screaming at me. I mean, literally screaming at me. He was very angry. The second time I met Steve Stone was at a dinner at Harry Carey's, the restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
His former partner. And I was introduced to him. We became friends. And I got to tell him, hey, you taught me more about baseball than almost... I played baseball all my life. You taught me more about sliders than any coach I ever had. And he was grateful. And we've stayed close all these years. And every year on his birthday, I send him that one picture of himself that he knows about. Google that too. So, yeah, I think we do have that relationship. But, you know, when you don't value it, when you don't understand those amazing things that happen, you know, as a Giants fan, you know this better than anyone.
Yep.
Those happy experiments happen in the White Sox. Yeah, they've made a lot of bad decisions lately, but I can't even joke. That's the biggest one, but it's up there.
The Pope knows all about it, though. That's the most important thing. The Pope understands it completely. Amazing.
A White Sox Pope.
White Sox Pope. I know, right?
That's the world we live in,
right?
Jason.
He can forgive he can forgive Bill Veeck for Disco Demolition Night now.
I don't think that needs confession. I think that's just fine.
Amazing. Amazing. This episode of Downstream is brought to you by Factor. Why not make this your best season yet? It's easy to do with nutritious two-minute meals from Factor. Eating well has never been this simple. You just heat up and enjoy. That's it. It makes eating well on a busy day super easy. Get outside instead of spending your time prepping and cooking indoors. Factor meals arrive fresh and ready to eat. They're perfect for any active lifestyle. There are 45 weekly menu options. There's so many things to pick from. Gourmet meals for your goals. If you are concerned about calories or protein or keto, other diets, they're all tagged and labeled. You could just go by spicy or not. You could go by what kind of protein you like. There are so many different ways to sort, and there's 45 weekly menu options, so there's always something good to choose from. Factor powers your day also with satisfying breakfasts, on-the-go lunches, premium dinners, guilt-free snacks, desserts. There's so many other options you can put in that box. It's easy to savor more this spring. Factor meals pack in the flavor with none of the fuss. Factor sends me meals, and my wife steals them and takes them to work because they're so easy for a busy person who has to eat out at lunch every day. And she doesn't want to walk down to the store. She doesn't want to pack a lunch. She can just pull a Factor out of our fridge, take it to work, a couple minutes in the microwave, done, and it tastes fresh, not like some reheated, overheated, frozen replacement thing. It doesn't taste like that at all. We were worried about my mom's nutrition, and now my mom gets Factor meals as well, and I pick those for her from the 45 options. And, you know, we are working through it. She's like, I don't like that penne pasta anymore. I don't want that. I'm like, okay, Mom, I won't get you the penne anymore. And then she says, oh, you know, I really like that salmon. I'm like, okay, more salmon for you. You got it. Easy to do because there are so many different choices and we're getting her to eat more without her having to cook for herself. It's great. Get started today. Factormeals.com/downstream50off and use code downstream50off to get 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. That's code downstream50off at factormeals.com/downstream50off to get 50% off plus free shipping. Thank you to Factor for supporting Downstream and all of Relay. All right. We have one more topic before we go, because I know you wanted to talk about it, because you apparently, you teased me that you actually have something to say about this. I just want to say,
I have an idea about
this. Netflix announced that they're going to bring back Star Search. Now, those of us who remember that was like an Ed McMahon thing, and there were a bunch of famous people that were discovered there and all that. It was like a talent search kind of thing. But let's be clear, this is a dusted off old property, so they can basically do American Idol or The Voice and do it on Netflix, where I think it works and is really smart now that they've embraced live television.
Yep.
Is it's live and replayable worldwide. And what that means is outside of a TV a tight TV scheduling context, they can do a vote off show and they can make that live and they can have people vote and then they can come back and say, now here's who we're voting off. And that has been harder to do on traditional television because a lot of those shows started in Britain where they'd literally like they have one time zone. So they'd show the show and then they'd do the news and then they'd come back and tell you who won. And in American television with the time zones, they couldn't do it. So instead they spread it out. So, but it's a familiar model. It's a successful model. It's going to reach a world audience. I think it's really interesting. And is it Star? It's only Star Search because that was available IP that they could buy. But what's your Star Search contribution here, Will?
Okay. So I think this is going to go back to a theme I have pretty regularly, but I'm going to do it with another property, and Peacock could do this in a heartbeat. One of my favorite shows and good friends with Matt Eisman, who's the host, Akbar Bajabiamila, which I always screw up, though he's a great guy. They do such a phenomenal job with American Ninja Warrior, and I've said this to them for years. The only problem with American Ninja Warrior is I can't bet on it. If it were live and they do it overnight, if you ever get the chance to go to one of their tapings, do it. It's even better in person. There should be a tour. They should do this everywhere. The fact that they do it at Universal now in a single place, leftover from COVID, terrible idea. They should tour this thing every single place they possibly could. But if I could bet on American Ninja Warrior, I would not be the only one. There would be huge bets. You could do it live. Hell, you could do it overnight like they do. Star Search, I think, is going to take bets. And imagine if you could bet on reality TV, Top Chef, Survivor, Amazing Race. You can't do some of those live because of the editing, but yeah, something like Big Brother, some kinds of thing. I think this is Netflix looking at something and saying, if I do it live, I can't bet on David Chang. Great show. I hope it comes back. I certainly can't bet on John Mulaney, though you could probably get some great props out of it. But Star Search, if I can, you know, I can vote for somebody, sure. But if I can bet on it,
amazing.
Oh, now I'm taking a cut.
Amazing. You could also do outside of a traditional bet, you know, you're talking about a predictions market could actually be really interesting, right? As the performances go on. That's fascinating.
Absolutely.
Also, I'll just mention another thing that came up at the upfronts about Netflix, which is they have 94 million people on their ad tier, and they announced that they're working. They are all going all in. This is Netflix, and as a company that's very proud of its tech stack and abilities, they are working on interactive mid-rolls. So instead of it just being an ad, it's going to be an interactive. They are going to do pause ads, which is the worst. You press pause and there will be an ad while you're paused.
I actually don't mind those.
I hate it.
I actually
so
don't
much.
Mind those. It's paused. I don't care.
I hate it so much. And AI generated ads that tie brands
into
content.
That's the one. I mean, Zook went all in on, hey, I'm just going to do everything. Pay me money. I'll run the ads. I'll create the ads. I'll tell you the everything.
Because we know who the people are who are watching, and we know the brand, and we know the content that they're watching, and we'll generate content on the fly for them.
Maybe I'll stop getting like diaper ads.
I hate it so much, and I think that'll be very effective for them. Anyway, that brings us to TV picks, where we say, here's something that I've been watching that I really enjoyed that maybe a downstream listener could also enjoy. Will, do you have a TV pick for me?
I do. I mentioned this earlier, and I love Top Chef. I think Top Chef is a great format. I think it works. I've complained that I can't watch all the international Top Chefs, but we're getting down to brass tacks with Top Chef. And again, if this was live and I could bet on it, I would so bet on it.
Amazing.
This is one of few shows I watch live because friends of mine, some of them actual chefs, we have a text chain that's gone back, 10 years where we have been talking about this, where we organize getting together. And it's the one time of the week where friends that go back, I've got a fantasy baseball league that goes back to high school. That's 40 something years. This is one of the other few social activities I have, full stop. But one of the things where we actually do it in real time and talk about it and do things. I think Top Chef has held as a format. I think the people are good. They haven't worn down the way that some formats do. I think I was worried when Padma Lakshmi left that it would never be as good. But Kristen Kish, no offense to Padma Lakshmi, who's ungodly gorgeous. Kristen Kish is every bit as good and every bit is ungodly gorgeous.
All right, my pick is going to be Long Way Home, which is the latest
so good
in a series of motorcycle travelogues with Ewan McGregor and Charlie Borman. Apple produced their last one, which was released basically during the pandemic, the height of the pandemic, where they went from the tip of South America to LA. They also bought the rights to the two previous ones, where they went from the UK to New York via Kazakhstan primarily and Siberia. But boy, Kazakhstan's very large, everybody, especially if you're just two guys on motorcycles. And then they did one down alert. Africa from the UK all the way down to Cape Town. And those are also all available.
Yeah, spoiler alert, he adopted his daughter from Kazakhstan, was it not?
Yeah, from Kazakhstan. That's how long they were in Kazakhstan. No, it's they're amazing. The new one, they are taking a great circle route in Europe. So they're going to go up the coast of Norway through Scandinavia and down through the Baltics and through the Alps and all the way back around. They're going from Ewan's house in Scotland to Charlie's house in England the long way around. And the fact is they are both interesting personalities.
Yep.
They are they stop along the way. There is an adversity component where these motorcycles are going to break and they're going to have to find like a guy who can weld things together in a random place in Finland. You know that's going to happen. And put it all together. And it's just good vibes. And the best I can come up with that's a comp for this is the Michael Palin travel documentaries like Pole to Pole and Around the World in 80 Days, where Michael Palin went pole to pole and went around the world in 80 days. And those were similarly kind of like, it's about the journey, but it's really about also the people. And there's kind of an interesting person at the center of it, or people in this case. And you can see the countryside, and like there's a lot going for it. So the new season just started on Apple TV Plus, Long Way Home. I recommend all four of those. They're all great.
I have not watched the new one, but I will recommend it anyway because I've seen the other three. I know what they're going to do. I always wonder if some of those breakdowns are contrived. If they're like, it's been 3 days and something broke. We better do something.
Yeah, I don't know.
But the show, if you just describe it to somebody, you're like, I don't know, Ewan McGregor. Jason Momoa did one that was similar. I forget the name of it. But even his big personality did not carry it. Yeah. I don't know if that was just the production, the editing. Ewan and Charlie, you kind of root for them. You're sort of riding along with them. And you buy it.
Yeah, you're like, oh, these dummies are doing this again. Oh, these guys. And they're, you're rooting for them. And also, you know that they're going to make some bad decisions. And that's fine, too. And like, it's just, it's really good TV. And they are truly like essentially childhood friends. So they know each other incredibly well. I'm all in on that. So I recommend that.
I'm sure you remember the washpan episode where they were going through, I think, Chile, and there was like dirt road that was nothing. It was like going over endless speed bumps for like 50 miles.
Yeah.
And watching them through that was amazing TV. You have to love it.
Amazing. All right. Well, that brings us to the end of this episode. If you are not a Downstream Plus subscriber, you missed some of our conversations about NBC Universal and ESPN and Fox One and HBO Max. And you know, you miss some of it, but that's okay. You can join Downstream Plus and get full access to every episode that is downstream.plus. You get full versions of every episode, access to our Relay Discord, bonus shows from Relay, and a whole lot more. And of course, if you have a question for us or a suggestion, downstreamfeedback.com. We love to hear from you. I'm at sixcolors.com, many other podcasts at Relay and The Incomparable. And Will, where can people find you?
Undertheknife.substack.com. If you care about injuries like Oswaldo Cabrera's exploding ankle, or I run the company Intangible, which can help your athletes become more mentally fit.
Oh, did I score, Judgy? Did I score?
We got to come up with a better nickname.
Will, pleasure as always. Hopefully Julia will be back next time, but thank you for filling in, and thanks to everybody out there for listening. We will see you next time.